Ryan Gillette. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, sitting across from secret Tour de France rider Michael Goudeau, and we're here to talk about whatever the hell we want to talk about. 866-570-PEN, that's 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. I like to start at the beginning of the show and give the topic. People want to rush into the phones before I've given my point on it. There's this kid. Where the hell is he? I don't even know where he is. But there was an article, there was a thing on the Today Show the other day. It's popped up a few places. But I got it from a Hammer of Truth. Do you know Hammer of Truth?
Not very
It's a libertarian website that I read every day. And I love it. And they also have a little ad for the radio show on there as well. But yesterday on the Today Show, I guess, Abraham Chirix is a 16-year-old cancer patient who has opted out of another round of chemo in favor of an alternative treatment. Now, you all know we do the show Bulls Hit, and we couldn't be more against alternative treatments. We are very against that. He's opted out of something I would push very strongly for if he were my child, for an alternate treatment. The young man has decided that he wishes to pursue a quality life rather than a life measured by year markers. The interview went on. And the person writing this, woman writing this, says, my admiration for this boy's courage turned to horror. It seemed that a social worker in this young man's state decided that his parents were neglectful. His parents supported his alternative treatment, treatment that has not been proven efficacious, and were dragged into court to defend themselves as parents. The state was awarded a sort of joint custody, a custody which mandates the young man to submit to tests not of his choosing. To the government monster, it doesn't matter if the kid feels better on his organic diet. It doesn't matter that his parents support his decision. The talons have dug in, and this kid will submit to any testing which may give him unpleasant news, if only to be sure he can continue on his alternative path. Amazing. You know, amazing. And I think this is another interesting thing for the nut point of view, because I am totally against giving up chemotherapy. I'm totally against alternative therapies. I'm totally against his jive alternative diet. I don't believe in anything about this story except his rights.
He's 16.
He's a 16-year-old kid. He should have his own rights, and on top of that, his parents should have his own rights. And if you ever want to get me in an argument and shut me absolutely up, just shut me up dead, talk about Christian Scientists not being allowed, not allowing their kids to have medical treatment, because that is where my deepest morals clash. I believe in the individual's right against the government, but a nut to hurt his children is a really tough position. So, but this is not quite life. This is a 16-year-old kid. This is, in many cases, an adult, and his parents are on his side. He should be able to go for the treatment he wants, I believe, without the government sniffing around and monkeying around. So that's the call I'd like to take, 866-570-PEN, 7366, because it's cancer therapy turned down Friday. he didn't do any music for that. Yeah, no music, but that's it. 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. And the question is, should the government, when should the government intervene on people's personal medical choices?
What's your stance if he's 15? we just go through all the years until you say, no, now they have to do it.
What do you say on this?
I don't know. I think he's 16. I think he doesn't know.
What about it? His parents are backing him?
Well, his parents are wrong, too. You know what?
I'm not disagreeing that his parents are wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm not disagreeing that he's wrong. What I'm disagreeing with is the government's job to decide what medical treatment individuals get.
Yeah. Well, let's go with the Superman question then. What would Superman do? If you were falling out of a plane and you said, Superman, don't catch me, would he catch you anyway?
I think there has to be a certain amount of choice. So you don't believe that suicide should be allowed?
I think suicide should be allowed, but I just wonder about
this. But you think Superman would intervene on that?
I suspect Superman might intervene. There might be a ray of hope. You never know.
Yeah.
At 16, I think you're not adult. You can't.
But he also, his quality of life does matter now.
Yes, it does.
How he wants to live. You know, how a person wants to live is the most important choice they can make. I think it's a really important choice. I'm not saying this is a happy decision. I'm just saying it's a tough
one. We need to know more about his situation. Are the chances really good?
Type.
I'll stop talking in type then. Is he going to survive? Does he stand a good chance of surviving with the chemo, or doesn't he?
His name is Abraham Chirix. C-H-E-R-R-I-X. You find out more. And we're going to take calls on this, but we're also going to try a brand new thing today. Our good friend, Vlad the Impala, suggested that I do an advice thing, give people advice, like Dr. Phil, like Dr. Laura. And I didn't think it was a particularly good idea, but Godot and Jack liked it. So if you have a personal problem, you can call up and talk to Layman Penn. I'm not going to put a fake doctor in front of my name. Layman Penn will answer your questions. Any questions you have about sex, money, etiquette, human interaction, mathematics,
where
anything
to go,
you want.
Where to go for lunch.
Where to go for lunch. I'll try to give you a hand. And if this goes well, the Layman Penn segment will be always open. Whatever other question we're talking about, you can call because your personal life is as important. Jack's saying no. No, I will tell you, people can call up with personal life. No, any day they want, they can call up with personal. We'll fight about this later. We'll fight about this later. But right now, I'm taking calls on most anything. Do I want to read this? I'm going to wait until a lot of calls come in. So if you're calling in and you get a busy signal, hang in for a little while and try again maybe. This is a letter we just got, and this is a little off topic because this is about Monkey Tuesday. But thank you, Patrick. Oh, you're right on it. About Monkey Tuesday, and it's a little off topic, but was there another one there? Thank you. Okay, now you're one ahead. Good. That's the way to do it. And I just thought this was a really cute, loving letter. This says, Penn and Goudot. Guys, you have just done what I thought was impossible. I am in the process of organizing my life so that I can move to Israel, as I was offered a job at an orphanage that I support very strongly. God damn, he's a good guy. As I am an Israeli citizen, in order to work at that orphanage, I will also have to do my army service there. Yeah, good timing. I want you. He has a wrong word here. I want you to contemplate the irony of that situation on your own. Anyway, my girlfriend wants me to delay my trip, planned to begin the end of October until early November, as she wants to go to one last Rocky Horror Picture Show, always big in Montreal, before I leave. I resisted. Well, you know, girlfriends have other stuff they could promise besides going to Rocky Horror Picture Show. If your girlfriend listens to this show, I'm suggesting sexual favors, stuff you've never done before, probably with a girlfriend of yours. A war has broken out between Israel and Lebanon, Syria. Oh, you wouldn't know it by listening to our show. Yes, a war has broken out. And who knows what may happen to me in the Israeli army. In a situation like that, I was still not deterred. Okay? So his girlfriend and physical danger can't deter him. Then I heard you were planning on doing a Halloween Monkey Tuesday in New York City, and I think I'm going to have to delay my plans a few days. What neither love nor a sense of self-preservation could drive me to, you have done. Unless I hear really soon that you are not hitting the Big Apple, I may have to buy a ticket for November. I thought you might enjoy that. And his name is A-R-I-E-H. How would you say that?
Array?
Array? Array? I don't know. Sounds like you're falling off a building. Array! But anyway, there we got it. So I'm very happy. Now I feel more, I feel more pressure now to do the Monkey Tuesday from New York. I think we're going to actually do that. I mean, I think we've talked to enough people. I got to clear it with Teller and so on, but I think we should do that. And we'll do what we can. Maybe we get Teller to come to Monkey Tuesday.
That'd
show.
Be great.
Put him in a little monkey suit. And I guess we're doing the view. We're doing the
put
view.
Put him in a little monkey suit.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
You just called Teller a pet.
Yeah, I did. Speaking of pets, we're gonna have our two children are gonna be dressed in monkey suits because I think we're doing a magic trick with one of our kids. I don't know which one. But either Zoltan or Moxie are going to do a trick on The View. We're going to do a card trick with them. So I don't know if they'll be in their monkey suits or they'll be in gray suits matching us. But they'll be doing something on The View. And that'll be that day. And then we'll go right over to the studio. So Teller will be around. Maybe he'll come by. Maybe he'll do a little monkey dance for us or something. Who knows what Teller might come up with. But if you have any advice you want from Layman Penn, I'll give you any advice you like on anything. And we're also talking about, we got everything going today. We got maybe two many things going. We're also talking about this kid with cancer, which I think you'll notice from this that the hosts of the show disagree strongly, don't we?
We do a little bit.
Yeah,
strongly.
My dislike of government is greater than your dislike for people doing stupid things.
Yeah.
And I've said many times that freedom means the freedom to do stupid.
At 16, I don't know how you can be incredibly stupid, and you shouldn't have to die for it.
Yeah, well, you think he, so? You want to force him?
I don't want to force him. I want to yell at him.
Okay,
well, I want to get him on the phone and slap him in the face.
No one disagrees with your ability to yell at him.
Okay, cool.
Right to yell at him. I just wonder if the government wants to go with it.
He's got Hodgkin's disease. It's highly treatable if you catch it early enough.
Have they caught it early enough?
They've caught it early enough. They went through one round of treatment. Apparently a few cancer cells have shown up again, and they've decided to repeat the treatment. And he's opted out to go to Mexico for a dietary treatment.
This is a tough one for me. Let's see what the phones say. They're all filled up now. Let's take Dr. James. Hey, what's up, James?
How's it going, brother?
Never better, boss. How are you?
Very well, very well. I got to be honest. Most of the time I listen to you, and I'd rather shoot myself in the foot with a pellet gun. But I will say this. If the Japanese can choose how to die and how to live their lives, I'm talking about seppuku now. Why can't this kid choose his own treatment? I don't understand that for a second.
Okay. The fact that he's 16 doesn't change anything for you?
Absolutely not. I think that as a young man, how old are you when you become a man as a Jewish man?
Well, I'm 13, not a Jewish right? man. I'm not a Jewish man, but
no,
I believe
I know
the Jews
that.
in the religious culture, I believe it's 13.
Okay. And historically speaking, throughout history, you're a man as soon as you can take care of your family and create one on your own. So I think it's completely ridiculous. If a man should be allowed to choose how he lives, he should definitely be allowed to choose how he dies. And so, he'll more than likely die from this ridiculous diet, but I think it is his choice.
So you, let's get back to this. Do you believe that all the age of consent stuff is too old in this country? For the most things we say, I guess for some sex things, it's 15 or 16, depending on where you are. But for most things, it's 18. To drink, it's 21. Would you bring those all down to what age can you create a family? What age can you reproduce? I guess most people can at 14. Is that right? Would you want to give people full rights at 14?
I don't see why not. I mean, if they're able to do it on their own, I don't see why not. I think there should be limitations on their interactions with people of a much greater age. You know, I think that's it creates a room for parasites.
Well explain that to me. Explain that to me.
Well, for example, in Connecticut, mm-hmm. you can be 17 and date a 15-year-old.
Sure.
But if you're 18, that's statutory rape.
Yeah, okay.
So I agree with that line of thinking for the most part.
But I think you've just said that a 16-year-old should be allowed to kill himself while we watch, whereas a 16-year-old should not be allowed to date a 25-year-old. Is that what you just said?
That is exactly what I just said.
And you feel good about that, hearing it in those terms?
I feel perfectly fine about that.
Okay. So you want government intervention into sex, but not into life or death?
I'm not a big fan of government, first and foremost. But,
okay.
But I will say that I think when you have, let's use a 30-year-old dating a 16-year-old as an example.
Okay.
I think that could conceivably create a much longer-lasting trauma for the younger party than that person actually killing themselves. If they kill themselves, they're dead.
Right, but if
they cease to exist.
You're only measuring trauma by trauma that can be experienced. When you're talking about withholding medical treatment, the amount of loss...
By choice.
Loss of joy could be, if this kid's life expectancy is, you know, 76, you're talking about, 60 years. 60 years... lost, and no matter how much trauma you get from having a sexual relation with a 30-year-old, I don't think it would amount to 50 years completely and utterly lost.
No,
all I'm saying to you is I would like your position to be, as I always do, black or white. I'd like you to make some sort of decision. Either they are a full functioning adult who can do whatever they want at 14, or they're not. And your idea of it's cooler to kill yourself than sleep with a 30-year-old, which seems like your personal problem.
I love you.
Seems like it has that little weakness in there, doesn't it?
Oh, no, absolutely. And I can definitely attest to the conundrum that I just posed.
Yeah.
And certainly the conflict that what I said inherently carries. But I think that all men have their right to live their life as they choose and die as they choose.
And how old are you?
25.
And you believe you have the right to sleep with anybody or any of any age?
No, I do not.
Okay, where do you cut it off?
At the age of consent, of 18 years old.
18 years old.
In all truth.
Yeah, in all truth, 18 years old. And yet the person who... So you would think that a 16-year-old sleeping with you is very, very literally a fate worse than death.
Well, I'm not that unattractive. But I would say that on a mental level, I think that older people are much more capable of being manipulative, and I think we're tainted by the world, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And I think by putting yourself in a situation with a younger person that has not experienced, doesn't have those life experiences, is highly traumatic.
Uh-huh. Well, that's not really what we wanted to get off into, but I think you've... The odd thing is that once you've made such a big switch of protecting kids entirely under 18 from sex, but allowing them to experiment with death, it just seems like a really goofy point of view. And that's what we specialize in on this show. So
I think that's why I listen to you every day, even though sometimes I said I'd rather shoot myself in the foot with a pellet gun.
Well, if you ever want to really shoot yourself in the foot with a pellet gun, we'll bring you out to Vegas. You can do it on the show.
Videotape it.
I'd be more than happy to.
We'll buy you donuts. We'll take care of you. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks. Can I talk to Chris, please?
Sure you can.
How's it going, Penn?
What's up, Chris?
How you doing? I just want to congratulate you. I've heard every show on podcast since episode one. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time you've ever smacked down somebody who called in.
What did I do?
Usually you're all like, hey, man, that's cool, and this is cool. But this time you just told them right out you're kind of an idiot. And thank you for growing some claws on that guy.
I tried very hard to just restate his point, you know? I was trying to be nice. I hope I came off a little bit nice.
You gave him the chance to get out of it.
There were some. Yes, I did give him a chance to back out. But did you like it or not? You like me smacking people down?
I do. That's why I
watch
the show.
Okay, shut up and get off the air.
Yes,
we're going to take a little break right now. We'll be back in a little while. We're talking about this 16-year-old kid and his cancer treatment. And it's also Ask Layman Penn. You got a question for me? Call up and ask with your personal problems. 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. Yeah, this is Pat here on a Friday from Las Vegas, sitting here with secret Tour de France rider Michael Goudeau. How far did you ride yesterday, Michael?
6 hours and 6 minutes.
Wow.
I was exhausted.
Now, how long are you going to do today?
4 hours, 35 minutes.
So you're staying up, because you have kids and jobs and stuff, you're staying up at night.
I was riding the bike at 11:15 last night.
Yeah. Wow. You're one hell of a guy. You're going to lose enough weight to make it worthwhile, you think?
I hope so. 1 pound every 10 hours, so you figure it out. You know, in 2 days, that's a pound.
So you're gonna, what are you going to lose, 12 pounds by the time you're done?
I hope so.
Yeah, that's good. And it's that real kind of losing weight, just from pure strength.
Yes. I'm still eating pie.
What kind of pie you eat?
Blueberry.
Ah, blueberry. Homemade?
No. Marie Callender.
Oh, yeah.
Also had a fudgesicle.
While on the
bike. Yeah, I'm riding the bike eating a fudgesicle.
You don't see a lot of that in the Tour de France.
Not a lot.
866-570-PEN-7366. I like the way you say fudgesicle. You say it properly.
I do.
A lot of people, you know, slur it all together, but fudgesicle is what I like. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. We're talking about this kid. What's the kid's name? Abraham Chirix, who is turning down cancer treatment, chemotherapy, for Hodgkin's, right?
Hodgkin's, yeah.
And he'll probably die. because, and they can cure it. American Cancer Society can cure it like this. And the question is, should the government come in and say, slap the kid around and have him have the treatments as opposed to dying? And they're all sending the parents to court. And I am somebody who doesn't want the government doing anything. And this is a really, really tough one for me. It's really tough because I don't know when the government needs to step in. It certainly seems like his personal choice. But he is 16. I don't know. So we're talking about that a little bit. Let's talk to Dave, shall we? Sure. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Ben. Hey, Mike. How you guys doing?
Very well, thanks. Right. How are you?
Good. Well, I just wanted to have a comment. Two things. Number one, I definitely think it's totally inappropriate, and the government is taking way too much influence in our lives. I grew up in a house. My father was an OBGYN, and there was always issues about abortions and that kind of thing. And I just think that once we lose that freedom, then we pretty much lost everything. If we can't choose how we want to heal ourselves, then we really have nowhere left to go.
But you're from a household with an MD, and you know a little bit about the chemotherapy working on Hodgkin's if it's caught early. Doesn't that kind of tear at you a little bit that this kid at 16 may be making a temporary decision with permanent consequences?
Absolutely. I mean, if it was my child, I certainly would inform him of the risks, and I would press as hard as I possibly could to have him get the right treatment. But again, it still falls into the hands of, you know, what you believe, what you think is right, and I think that, you know, the government doesn't have any real place to say anything about that.
Actually, you brought up a slightly different issue. It's a very, very important one. Let's leave the government out of it for a second. Let's say we're in libertarian heaven, and
sure,
you've got a kid who's 16 years old who's going to make a life-threatening decision. How far would you go to make that kid make the sensible decision?
I think I would go as far as I felt, you know, necessary. I'm month-old son, and I guess I would. You get clouded as a parent because, you know, you want to do everything that you can, and you always think you know more and you're smarter and you're better than your child, and obviously you want to do everything that you can to be a good parent. But I would go as far as I needed to go, and I would do anything and everything to make sure that they got, you know, the treatment that they needed.
But is there a point where you'd give up?
Probably not. It's just me, you know.
I believe that's the right answer.
Yeah, I am with you on this one, Dave.
Yeah.
I'd tie him up.
Yeah.
I'd drag him down there.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Absolutely. I would tie him up and lock him up and throw him in the car and handcuff him if I had to.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for you. Have you heard about the polyheme experiment?
The what?
The polyheme experiment.
I don't even know what you're saying, so I guess not.
Okay. In 27 cities in America,
mm-hmm,
right now, if you were in a traumatic accident, let's say you're riding down the street and you're on your motorcycle and you have an accident and you need blood,
mm-hmm,
the FDA, the federal government, has approved this experiment where they give you a product called polyheme. It's basically fake blood.
Can you spell it?
P-O-L-Y-H-E-M-E.
Okay.
And you have no choice.
Polyheme, right?
Polyheme.
Yeah.
Polyheme. It is basically a
kind of like that hematoma tied in with poly something. Yeah, okay.
Exactly, something like that.
Fake blood.
But it just goes to you know, again, I'm sure you will research it a little more, but it just goes to show that, I mean, you have no, there is no consent. There is no consent. You are part of this experiment. And the other bad part, in my opinion, is that if they give you the polyheme,
mm-hmm,
part of the law approved by the government is that once you get to the hospital, you have to stay on the polyheme for at least 12 hours. So even if there's good, ready, healthy blood for you, they're going to keep you on this polyheme stuff. In the initial clinical studies, two people had a heart attack and died from overdosing. I mean, yeah, there are positives to it. It you know, in battle and out in the field, it definitely has a much longer life. I guess they want to say that it's safer because, you know, blood can, you can get the wrong type, it can,
sure,
be contaminated, stuff like that. But again, you don't have, there's no consent.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, when you get in the ambulance driver has a little card, and one, you have a 50-50 shot of getting this polyheme.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's pretty scary.
Well, thanks a lot for telling us about that. You know, that's why I always want medicine to be private, not government-wide. It's, it'd be so much better if you knew that the ambulance company, the doctors you were going to, had that policy and could make an informed decision. Thanks a lot. You laid a lot of smart stuff on us, Dave. Thank you so much. Let's talk to Rich. What's up, Rich?
Hey, Ben. I think really, as long as the kid's got the backing of his parents, it's none of anybody else's damn business.
Well, you know, that's the part that pulls at my heart, is the part that that's why I separated it with the last caller to, you know, what would you do if you were the parent? In this case,
right.
We have parents who are pushing for one thing, and it's a real tough one for me because nobody could be more against what's called alternative medicine than I am.
Right.
So I'm really on the other side of this, but I have a lot of trouble with the government coming in. I mean,
the government's got no place in there at all. I mean, you can raise your kids to be whatever you want them to be, or you should be able to, and, you know, let them make the decisions they want to make. And if you back them on that, I mean, even if we don't agree with it, or the government doesn't agree with it, whose business is it?
Hey, what are you going to say about that, Goodell?
Again, when you're denying a three-year-old treatment for a treatable disease, I don't know.
Well, yeah, but see, it's not your three-year-old.
No, I know that. I know that.
It sucks.
My three-year-old gets every darn medical treatment I can think of.
Oh, well, yeah, so does mine.
I make things up. You know what I mean? I'll go to the doctor for anything.
But again, it's someone else's child. It's someone else's decision. And for everybody, it's a learning experience.
Yeah.
At the least, they learn regret.
You know, I think we have to agree with you, but it's your stuff.
It's really tough.
I mean, it's bad either way, but, I mean...
And if you haven't, I mean, the problem is, Goodell, to put it in other terms, if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm serious, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are going to go to hell, eternal damnation.
No,
there are people that believe that 100%, as strongly as you believe in death, maybe stronger than you believe
in
death.
Well, then the government should move in and make all of us believe in Jesus.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Go to hell.
This kid is going through less than people would believe that my children are going through by not being baptized. And that's the problem when you bring the government in.
And he's going through something real, something you can put your hands on.
Absolutely. But I'm just saying that I have enough respect for Christians to think that their belief in a life of eternal damnation is as real as my belief in a pro-science objectivist life. I have to believe those are equally real. And if I give the government power to do what I want to a kid doing stupid stuff, don't I must give power to the government to do stuff for things I think is stupid. That's
right.
What worries me about it.
And who's to say whatever chemicals they're going to push into him and force him to do are any better than the quack medicine he's going to look for?
Well, you know, we all know that. We've tested that. We know that it's better. We know that it's better and his chances are very good. But the problem is we have to have some sort of power to do stupid things.
Right.
And this one breaks my goddamn heart. I mean,
yeah,
I just even as
thing,
I say stuff,
when you're talking about
even
it.
If I say this stuff and make these arguments, and I'm making the arguments as best I can, and I still don't believe them, goddamn it.
Right.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for calling. This is
Should you have to die because of a circumstance of birth? I mean, it happens all the time. You're born to stupid parents. Why should you be forced to die?
Exactly, but who comes in and takes care of that?
I know, there's no way to...
Who comes in and takes care of that?
There's no way to
You know, when you get killed in a motorcycle accident because you were going too fast, who was supposed to step in and say he died a senseless death? He was riding without a helmet going 110. That's a tragedy, too, a horrible tragedy. A tragedy that can be prevented, a tragedy that we knew what the chances were. But do you have a right to do that? Do you have a right to do something that is stupid and life-threatening? Because if we say you don't have a right to do something stupid and life-threatening, then there's a lot of other people who have strong beliefs, too. And you can't belittle Christians and Muslims that have strong beliefs on these things, because then they will do the same to us. And believe me, they will do the same to us, even if we don't belittle them. But let's try to take the high road. That's all I'm trying to say. Let's try to give people freedom. I think it's probably we're coming down to the wire. We got a lot more calls here. 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. And we're talking about this 16-year-old kid who's refusing chemotherapy, and therefore, very likely he will die. Should the government step in? Call up. Let me know, because I'm very confused. Penn Jillette, you know, the big guy in Penn and Teller. Sitting here talking to Michael Goodell, the secret Tour de France rider. 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. We're having trouble this time. You know, usually we have, although our opinion may be nut, We usually have an opinion. This one, boy, we're really going back and forth. Just to recap, Goodall and I are real libertarian government haters, small government guys. And there's a case of a 16-year-old kid who wants to stop his chemotherapy for Hodgkin's cancer. And that means he'll probably die while eating raw vegetables. And the government wants to step in and force the kid to live. And it's a hard one. It's a hard call. Let's see if we can get some help on the phone here. Let's talk to Craig. What's up, Craig?
Hey, Craig. How you been? How's it going?
Never better, boss. Never better.
Excellent, man. Yeah, my take was, you know, unfortunately, if you want to kind of follow this to the letter of the law, I mean, technically, the kid is under the supervision of his parents until he's 18, until he's officially an adult. It seems, unless I have the story wrong, that his counselor or medical provider thought he was doing the wrong thing and, as a result, you know, thought his parents were being irresponsible and contacted, you know, the proper authorities, maybe the same way somebody in, you know, Child Protective Services would.
Right.
So, you know, I don't agree. I think the kid should do the chemotherapy. But because of the way the law is, you know, maybe that counselor, whoever, you know, turned his parents in or brought the lawsuit or what have you, felt that they were doing the right thing. So maybe it really comes down to the counselor bringing it up, you know, to the courts.
I don't think there's any doubt that you could convince yourself, if you were a counselor, that you were doing the right thing by saving a 16-year-old boy. That position morally seems very simple to me. And that counselor parking outside their door and screaming and sending information and bringing in people who've had chemotherapy to talk to them, all of that seems right. The only place that I start to have trouble is when the government, and the government, of course, is synonymous with force, when police get involved, when guns are on the hips of people during these discussions, that's when I start to worry about it. And it breaks my heart. I mean, if I really had this call, if I was really in the town, if I really knew this kid, I don't know if my pure political morality would hold up. It really does break my heart terribly, and I think I understand the law of it. It's the morality that's ripping me apart.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, until something's changed, you know, I understand too. I you know, maybe there's more to the story. You know, if I'm the counselor, you know, maybe I'm saying, hey, I you know that he should be doing chemotherapy, but you know, it's his decision, so I'm going to respect him and his parents. You know, right, you don't know what you would do, but obviously the counselor or whoever it was in this position, you know, felt, you know, that they should get involved, you know, and contact somebody of a higher, you know.
Yeah, someone's taking it to the government. It's just a tough question. I'm more interested in how this comes right down. You know, many of the things I believe, I've thought about a lot, and I found a way to really believe them. And this is one that just hits me in the chest like a baseball bat. I can't feel comfortable just making unequivocal statements on this at all.
Right.
But thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for calling, Craig. Let's talk to Nancy, shall we?
Sure.
Hey, Nancy, what's up?
Hi. I feel torn just as much as you guys do, but I'm more towards protecting the kid because he's a minor.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the parents are on his side, I feel like it's almost a form of abuse because they know that chemotherapy is very treatable for them, for the kid, and by doing this offbeat dietary thing, they're sentencing him to death. And that's, I think it's a form of child abuse, and I think the government has to step in because he is a minor. And we are obligated to protect our children, even if the parents make the wrong decision.
But what about stuff where, and this is where it bothers me, what about stuff that the vast majority of this country believes and believes very strongly that you may not? What if the whole country believes that you're better off on a respirator, unable to move, than you are dead? Or what if the whole country believes that you must accept Jesus into your heart and anything else is child abuse? The problem is, should the government have any power at all over an individual family? I mean, if they were divided, it's yet a different issue. But this is a nuclear family, you know, mother, father, kid, who all agree on what to do in the treatment with a 16-year-old kid who is, I mean, certainly able to make some decisions. I mean, we're not able to have a learner's permit. Do you feel good about the government having that power? And do you feel feel like this is a very specific situation that doesn't come up that often, so let's do this? Or do you believe this gets all kind of messy and opens the door for other stuff?
Well, it's definitely complicated, and I think it is more case-by-case type of scenario, but I'm a teacher, and I'm obligated, if I see something wrong going in a family, to report it to the government, no matter what. And so I see this as kind of someone looking in and saying, this isn't right, and we need to protect this child, because he may not, even though he's 16 and he has some sort of brain in his head, he's not a full-fledged adult and does not know to make the complete right decisions. And his parents, we don't know how intelligent they are. They might not realize the damage they are doing by accepting his decision.
What age students do you teach?
Well, I teach 10-year-olds, but it's still, I think, the case for anybody, any teacher that teaches anybody under 18, like up to high school.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's our job as just citizens of America to watch out for the youth and make sure...
To watch out for each other.
Right. So sometimes adults don't make the decision, so we need to help out in that case.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Nancy. I'm glad you're able to feel a little better about the decision than I am. I'm still kind of torn by it, but thanks so much. Let's talk to Andrew. Let's make this tough.
Sure.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Penn.
Make it hard
for you guys. Let's say, for instance, the parents were abusive to this child, because I know your stance on this is, like, I don't like the government stepping in.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he has the same right. But what's the difference? Well, let's say that parents are abusive to this child. Does the government have a right to step in and say, hey, listen, we have to take this kid out of here? Like, let's say I don't want to leave my father, even though he's abusive to me, I still love him.
Mm-hmm.
Does the government have a right to step in at that point?
Good question, Andrew.
Thanks for calling. Have a nice
Thank
afternoon.
Thank you so much for calling.
I think we're out of time.
I've said this before, and I guess it's all I'm going to say the whole show. I think that on the radio you're supposed to have really strong, unbending opinions, and I'm really unable to do it here. I mean, I guess there is a line. There is a line that at a certain point, the government steps in. I guess
right.
I do believe there is a line. The problem is that line, to me, is so uncomfortable wherever you draw that. Because, there's unequal enforcement of laws, and you know that if someone is creepier and stranger and more outside the law, they're much more apt to be busted for child abuse and have their kids taken away. Child abuse can be defined so broadly now, and all of this stuff, the government is so big and so bureaucratic, I just have trouble just relaxing into we're the government, you can trust us. I have a lot of trouble just relaxing into that. So yes, the answer to your question is definitely beats the hell out of me. I just don't know. Is it a tough one for you, Andrew?
Andrew's gone.
Andrew's gone.
I didn't drop him this time, though. Yeah. Andrew left on his own. We have a Gmail, saying,
sure.
Let me ask you this. What if the parents of the kid wanted to sacrifice him to please God, and the 16-year-old said he was fine with that?
Yeah, I know. That's there's no difference, really, between that and this. There isn't, right?
There's not really, no.
There's a whole family choosing to have the kid die.
Yeah. Well, he's going to go to Mexico, and that's pretty groovy.
It's quality of life, and people do make that decision of quality of life over, is the quality of life over a year of his life more useful than the quality of life over perhaps the next
year? In a year, he's going to quit being nauseous. He's going to feel fine. He's not going to be nauseated. He's going to say, gosh, I'm sure glad I did that. A year from now, I don't think he's going to say that.
That's very likely. Very likely. Let's go with Vinny.
Okay.
Excuse me.
How you doing, Vinny?
Hey, how are you? Great show, guys.
Thanks, boss.
I feel bad. The kid, 16, whatever, but if his parents and this kid are stupid enough to think that eating some fruit is going to cure his cancer, survival of the fittest, man. More food for us. Let them not reproduce anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you have the means to save your kid, and you really you don't want to. So, for whatever reason, whatever they think, survival of the fittest, man.
Yeah, boy, that's an easy one. That's real easy.
They seem to really believe this is going to help him.
Yeah, they, you know, and that's the problem. You know, if you want to point a finger at a villain, you know, we're kind of dancing around this. The villain is not the parents. The villain is not the kids. The villain, and I hate to say this, is not even the government. The villain are these whack jobs that sell this bull's hit that you don't have to be nauseated. You can just eat Mexican fruit. And I mean, of course, the that literally.
Fruit,
yeah. Then you can eat Mexican fruit, and then you're going to be okay. The real damage here is the liars about science that say you can do this organically. You don't need this evasive chemotherapy because, God damn it, you do.
Well, but how many doctors have already spoken to the kid, and you said that the counselor, you know, had brought people over? How many times are you going to say this is the guaranteed way to survive, and this is the 2% way to survive?
Yeah.
And your choice, if they choose a 2% way, and maybe, God forbid, knock on wood, their second kid doesn't get cancer, but maybe if this one dies, they'll make a better choice on the second one. I mean, I don't know what to say.
Okay. Well, that's something, man. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for calling. I just said that's something. That's what I said. That's something. That was my comeback. That's something. Okay. Let's talk to Dean. What's up, Dean?
Hey, how you doing, Penn? Great show.
Thanks, man.
I think the government overstepped its bounds like completely already in every way. I mean, They'll allow you to be drafted if there's a war at 17 and get your blood spilled all over soil, but they'll step in and they'll intervene in the kid's life. I have a 5-year-old and 7-year-old, and let me tell you, if you ask them, do you want to die, they wouldn't say yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They would not say yeah. There was no. And if this kid is told, hey, listen, if you don't go for this treatment, you're going to die, and he says, well, I'm okay with that, hey, listen, you know, there's a big difference. People are bringing up points like, you know, if you beat your kid, that's an assault. That's a crime. You know, this is not a crime. And if the parents are nutty and the kid is nutty, you know, you should be able to. It's not like the kid wants to die. If he knows that the potential is death and he's going to do it anyway, well, then, you know, good for him. I believe everything between cigarette smoking, alcohol consumption. The government just wants to control everything, in a free country. I mean, We're free to do what they tell us to do.
Yeah, you know, I'm afraid, Dean, that I agree with every word you said. I'm afraid that's really where I am. Thanks a lot, Dean. Thank you so much. You did bring up a really scary point. What if we had this whole article be that a 17-year-old kid who is living at home with his parents wants to go into the army and fight in Iraq and wants to be infantry, and his chances of dying go way up, and his parents are in favor of that? Does the government step in and go, hey, you can't have your son die in a war overseas? What are you, crazy? I mean, why does the government care so much about the welfare of this kid when he is at home with cancer, and then in a year and a half, they won't care at all if he wants to put himself in serious jeopardy in another country?
In fact, they'll pay him to do it.
They'll pay him to do it. This is a really tough one for me. I like to have answers, but some of these shows, we don't have answers. We're just a couple of jugglers. Get off our backs. What the hell do we know, God damn it? We'll talk to you Monday.